Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. At 7 o'clock, we let you know what was going on with this year's Alice in Winterland. And here it is again, in case you missed it. John Mayer is our headliner.
Wow.
Oh, where's Scott?
I'm sorry. Wow.
I know.
God, he's great.
We're really excited. And Maren Morris is going to open up the show.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a little country girl.
Edson's a big fan, actually.
Yeah. She has a lot of fans. She's a kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And we're playing this one. This is the Dear Hate song. Mm-hmm. It's pretty.
Yeah. Beautiful. Sweet. I like her husky voice. She's so young to have a husky country voice. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's really pretty. And So John Mayer is our headliner, and Maren Morris is going to open up the show. The show is Tuesday, December 12th at the Masonic. So it's midweek. We'll meet you there. The tickets go on sale this Thursday, 8 a.m.
Beautiful venue.
Oh, I love the Masonic.
Uber it.
Yeah, definitely Uber. Yeah. Not a lot of parking around there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a gorgeous. So beautiful. And it sounds so good in there.
Very intimate space in a way, because the sound is so perfect.
Tickets go on sale this Thursday morning, 8 a.m. at LiveNation.com and Ticketmaster.com. So make your plans now. Set yourself a little reminder. Because it always sells out.
And we this performed there one time with Michael Franti. Remember, you were on the... Where were you on?
On the tambourine.
Yeah. And I fake played guitar.
Yeah.
You guys were adorable.
That was so fun.
You were there?
Yeah, we saw that show. Yeah. We were dancing. I think we were dancing with all the Alice staff who weren't on stage.
Yeah, we don't let anybody else on stage with us. We just like to steal the show ourselves.
Whatever. Right. You know. It was great. Michael came out to the audience and stuff.
He's such a great performer. Yeah. He's not performing. It's going to be John Mayer.
Yes.
Right.
And Maren Morris. And again,
I can't make it. I'm away. But thank
you. Yeah, I know that you're actually going to be.
No, I know. Thank you. Thank you.
Another world traveler.
What can I do?
You know?
I got to go on vacation again.
I know. There you are talking to us. One time he was yelling at us about all this, you guys and your money. But you are a world traveler and you wear polo. Look at you.
I'm a gypsy. What can I do? I got to bring it to the people. They demand it. What? What are you looking at?
You doing comedy shows while you're in Uruguay?
Yeah, Uruguay. There is an English-speaking comedy night in Buenos Aires I'm going to try to perform at.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a big deal. There's a lot of English speakers.
Are you going
to try to perform at? Is that open mic night?
I'm going to pop in. Hey, guys. What do you think? Guys, hey. I brought my props. No, there's a woman who I've met here in shows who has given me a name, and they seem enthusiastic. So we'll see what happens.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then you can write the whole thing off as a business expense.
Exactly.
Hello.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
This part of the show is brought to you by IKEA. We are doing a live secret show this coming to 1 week from today.
From IKEA?
No.
Oh, that'd be
good. Just the sponsor is IKEA.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to do it at Club Fugazi, home of Steve Silver's Beach Blanket Babylon, you guys.
Rock it.
Very excited about this. Steve Silver's Beach Blanket Babylon, spectacular costumes, outrageously gigantic hats, follows Snow White around the world in search of her Prince Charming, meeting pop culture characters along the way like Beyonce, Adele, Taylor Swift, political figures, the SF Giants, and more. Get tickets at beachblanketbabylon.com. But they're letting us use the Club Fugazi, during the day next Tuesday. That is Halloween day. Wear a costume. We have an amazing costume contest. People go so hardcore on these costumes. And even if you don't win, Vinny pointed out yesterday, I think, even if you don't win, you'll have an amazing costume if you put the effort in. You'll go win some other costume contest.
My favorite last year was the one who came as a tube of your makeup. Do you remember that?
There were a couple people who went as my 25-year-old foundation.
So funny.
It was funny. It's just so creative.
And amazing that they actually listen to what you guys say in the morning.
I know. Blather,
weird,
blather,
right?
Blather.
Is that nice?
It's strange, isn't it?
Huh.
I know. Blah, blah, blah.
Who knew?
No one.
I know.
So this year, the grand prize is a trip for two to Squaw Valley Alpine Meadows with 3 days of lift tickets and 2 nights of lodging, courtesy of the 2017 Warren Miller film Line of Descent. We've also got a 40-inch HD smart TV and passes to the SF Dungeon and Steve Silver's Beach Blanket Babylon tickets. Call right now. You have to be over 21.
Oh, you do?
You do. This is there's a bar. It's a whole thing.
Oh, because last year I think there were younger people there at the...
They're usually 21 and up when we do the live show. But anyway, there's a cash, and cash is the operative word here. There's a cash bar in cash. There'll be free appetizers. We're doing a little lunchy thing. and all kinds of door prizes, plus the costume contest. So caller number 97 right now, 800-400-3697, wins two passes into the Sarah and Vinny Halloween Secret Show.
And gets to talk to Hooman for a second.
Oh, my God. The joy. Bonus prize.
Totally.
Hooman answers the phone.
Yeah.
So call now. IKEA family members get 15% off kitchens, $1,500 or more. Now through November 19th, visit an IKEA store or IKEA.com. Some restrictions apply. In case you haven't noticed, Scott Capurro has joined us here.
10 minutes of that was great. It's great to see you working.
Yep.
Man, you really go through it. Through it all.
Thanks for noticing.
Yeah.
Hey,
next time I play El Granada, will you come? Because I need a bodyguard. And you're pretty strong. You're wiry. You can defend yourself. You're a good Boston girl. You can swing at somebody. It got.
I will have to commit to it because Bryn won't be able to. You know, Bryn is. His wife is now two, or whatever she is, his fiance, 2 days overdue.
She hasn't had that thing yet?
Has not, Scott.
Bryn, can she drink some coffee or take a run around the block so she can still.
They did it last night. They did it to
try to make it happen.
It's 8 o'clock.
You did it?
Guys. You know,
that's great. All right.
Okay. No, everyone's interested. I mean, you've been pregnant for 9 months now. We're waiting
any
to hear.
Any second now.
We're ready for it to happen.
Is your phone right there and turned on?
Yeah, it's on. On vibrate.
But you're at work. Tell her to take a taxi, right? That's what people do. No? Is that wrong? Taxis? Bad?
I mean, worst case, you can Uber it.
If I
can't make it home, you know, in time.
I guess.
She'll be all right.
Yeah.
But any second. Like this morning, he wasn't here when I got here, and I was like, oh, did it happen? Is it going?
Yeah.
What's the...
Can't you just fib and say it has happened? Now we can move on. We all know what it's going
like
to look
it
like.
Too?
It'll be a baby. It'll smell good.
Sounds good.
Baby smells so good. They smell so
don't
good.
Don't do that, because I'll want to talk to you on the phone and ask all the questions.
How, oh, right.
You know, what's the name? How big is it?
How many toes?
To
all that. Yeah.
That's right. True.
Can't lie about it.
Can't follow Scott's lead.
Are you excited?
6 weeks of paternity leave.
Wow.
I know. It's nice.
What are you going to do for 6 weeks with the baby? Just run around and play with it?
Well, my parents out of town in November, the entire month of November. They travel like you, so.
Oh, right.
They're gone on
a lot of vacations.
Yeah.
They're on retirement, too.
Yeah, right. What?
What?
Well, that sounds good. Great. Good for you,
thanks,
Bryn.
Scott.
Because with the first one is a grown-up now, right? The first one?
Yeah, exactly.
So you made a little mistakes with that one. That's right. That one's that's
you'll do a better
he's
job
better than
this
I am.
Right.
I
mean. Yeah. So, but now you've learned all your lessons and stuff and how to raise a kid. So now you know how to do it.
I am more mature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fine now.
Should be. I think I'm ready for this one.
Although weird things about yourself might surface when raising a child. Is that true, Sarah? You've done it twice. Do you find out things about yourself you didn't know before? Like, oh, look at that. I'm like that. Or
well,
I'm that
I was, I'm super selfish. I mean, but I guess I kind of knew that.
Yeah, we all knew that.
Like, God, well, these kids are just ruining my me time.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
When do I?
I need a nap. Out of the room.
Little vacuums. They just vacuum up every spare minute.
Mm.
There
every
are no more
single
of those,
one.
Right?
I know. Every single one
but
goes
you can
to
drop
them
off somewhere, can't you, when they're little? Like at school or whatever, or babysitters and stuff, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, sure, but that's when you have to squeeze in all the stuff you have to get done. You used to be able to just sort of go around. You're like, oh, I got to get to the bank today. I got to get
a
to
little,
the...
Do
the... Yeah, a little of that.
A little doobie in the
sure,
car. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and then with the
can't
kids.
Do that anymore.
No. Over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brent, so no in the car. No more of that with the doobies.
Yeah, I don't do that.
He's a grown-up.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
It'll be so great. What I like about parents is that they start dressing like children because they have one. It's really cute.
What do you mean?
They get little matching outfits and stuff, or they look like kids because, you know, they can't afford to buy nice clothes, so they wear their old stuff from when they were young. Because they have a kid now, so they spend all the money on the kids.
That's real.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We watch sometimes when the four of us get together, we'll watch like old family videos of when they were babies or whatever. And there are so many videos. Where, first of all, I'm on the actual handheld home phone, you know, the big chunky thing you used to carry around, you know, so psyched because it was wireless.
Yeah.
I'm on the phone with my mom. Yeah. Just for hours. Like, every time the thing is there, I'm talking to my mom and, you know, whatever, asking her questions, giving her updates, making the kid goo-goo into the phone.
Hmm.
But I am always dressed like a homeless person.
Yeah.
Like, my kid's got some cute little outfit on, and I'm in, like, sweatpants, and there's, like, a big hole, like, in the thigh area.
So you dress better now.
I do dress better now,
believe it
or not.
Yeah.
But man, when I was home with the kids, and then like everything, every shirt I would have on would have like spittle down the front of it.
Yeah.
And my hair would just be in like a ratty looking ponytail.
Oh, no, we remember. No, I was surprised. I come into the show and I remember you looking like you didn't really work here. Like you just kind of stumbled in.
Thanks,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, that's
what
happens.
It wasn't until kindergarten when I looked at all the other mommies and went, wow, it looks like they actually put an outfit together. Like, they look so cute.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess I got to keep up with the bitches on the...
Well, Marin, you got to...
Yeah, I know.
Those ladies look good.
Mill Valley.
Yeah, hello.
No doubt about it.
Thousand Valley.
You got to keep up with that.
Yeah, you got to do it. And now you look great. See, you got through it.
Thanks, Scott.
You look the same. You do, Rosie. Yeah.
All right. So should we do some celebrity trash?
I'd love to. Just so you know, I in El Granada the other night, we had a bar brawl. Like
oh, yeah.
I said.
Oh, my God. The bar brawl. Yeah, I wanted to hear about this.
Oh, people got really, really drunk. Not everyone. The vast majority of the audience was fantastic.
So you sent me a picture. He sends me a picture of this, like, cute couple. I guess they're listeners of ours.
Mm.
Like, just a dude and a chick.
Mm-hmm.
They looked to be around 30.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just looked mild-mannered.
Mm. Before the show.
Yeah. Oh, no. Right. This was before they were all smiles. Like, we're so psyched to meet Scott.
Send the photo to Sarah. So I took it and I sent it to you.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, look at that. That's cute.
Because I work for you. So I just sent them. And it was weird because they seemed up for it. They were kind of getting in the way. We were moving the furniture around. And the guy.
Moving the furniture around.
Yeah. Because we have to move the tables out, put chairs in, you know, set the room up for the gig. Because it's a tasting
room. Oh, they were there long before the
show started.
Oh, yeah.
The line was around the block. It was way sold out. And we got loads of people. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Wow. You got it.
I got all phlegmy for a second. It's the smoking. How much does the room seat?
We can only really squeeze about 70 in, and we had a lot more than that show up.
Oh,
so,
my.
Yeah, it was great. And they were very nice, but they're kind of in the way, and Phil kept saying, get out of the way. And the guy kept trying to help. He's like, Phil's like, no, just please get out of the way. And I could tell.
Why did they get to get in early? I don't understand.
They were waiting outside, but right near the entrance, and we had to move the tables out of the entrance.
Oh, so they were like first in line.
Very first.
I see.
And it kept saying, can we help? And he's like, no, helping would be sick. And they were kind of drunk already. Anyway, so.
Oh, yeah.
Those people were not the majority of your audience. They were lovely, but just these people. And they've been
you
to
mean
the show.
Your audience.
Well,
they were there to see you.
Are the family.
Okay,
the family. And there were other people there that wanted to sit up front, but these people were like determined to sit up front. And they've been there before, and they've been a bit disruptive before, but it was fine. A little bit before, yeah. Like chatty, just chatty and easy to control. But that night they were not, and they started talking. The guy sitting in the photo took a call from his father. I have to, it's my dad. And then stood up and started yelling back at the audience. They told him to get out, and he started threatening them. And they started to threaten him. And I'm on stage at that point like, I'm not steering the ship properly. And, screaming, and chairs were flipped over.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And the gay went outside with the blonde lady with all the makeup on. But the thing is, they all know each other. They all went to school together. And a lot of the guys in the room knew the woman he was with and had been with her at some point in her life. And she sent letters to Secret Show about her marriage, about it ending, and she needed advice, and you guys have advised her. And she took that advice seriously. So she did leave her husband because she was cheating on him. And all this.
God.
And they quoted some of the advice you'd given them.
Oh, my.
Because they'd all heard the advice, and they agreed with you. They thought, yeah, that blonde, she's got to leave her husband. Sarah was right, and Vinny made a really good point. They were going on. This is all during the show. I'm like, okay. And then, and it's just so weird.
So it was like almost like a big family reunion in front of you.
It was delivered into a documentary. And then this woman in the front row who falls asleep, head down on her chin to chest, down, like snoring.
Oh.
And I'm like, wake up. And she wakes up and she starts, don't, you don't want to push me. I'm going to. But they're very nice. They live kitty corner from the club. So they were hammered. And these were the people in the front row. So I wrote down the names of all these people. I have it on the back of my phone so I don't forget it. And they're all excluded from the next show. I'm gonna block them on Eventbrite. And if they do come, Edson's running the room, and he has no problem picking people up by the shoulder and throwing them out.
Oh.
He's been doing it at his club in London, where he, you know, vacations. So yes, they're gonna have to be expelled. I mean, I have no choice. It was so disruptive. I mean, the audience mostly just wants to see the show, and
right,
they've paid quite a lot of money to have a drink and sit there and watch a nice show. And instead, it became a fight, a yelling, screaming, ugly fight between people who know each other and live in a tiny town south of San Francisco.
So you wrapped it up early, and you only did 45 minutes.
It's weird. That didn't happen. I ended up doing about an hour and 15, but it was crowd control. I had to. Mm. I had to. There was no use that to give me the light. They just let it go on. But it did. I did about three jokes. It was mostly, you said, don't talk to her that way. Don't talk to my friend. I know her. I dated her in high school. I know what she's like. I know that B and that W and get up. They knew each other's.
W.
I don't know if I can say the word whore. Anyway, they knew each other's names. And it was like, oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Pitfalls of finding new clubs to do comedy at, everyone.
Thank you. I felt like I stepped into a family fight. You know what I mean? Thank you.
Well, El Granada, you got some reputation repair to do here after.
This is why the comedians stay at the Punchline.
Exactly. It's true. You're right, Finn. I mean, this is also, again, 97% of the audience were fantastic.
Sure, of course.
And a lot of people liked watching it.
There's only a few names on that list that you have there on
the back. Well, there's three, but they represent other people. I've written them all down. So then, in case they try to sneak in under someone else's name, not the reservation they were under, I can find them.
We're going to sneak in and disrupt another comedy show tonight. Well, who's in?
And they do comedy there other times during the year, and it all runs well because the audience is basically well-behaved, you know, just surfers who want to see a show or construction people. A lot of construction workers are down there. It's a lovely place, El Granada. Who knew? A lot of people don't know it exists. They know Pacifica and they know, you know, Santa Cruz, but what's in between? Well, this is it.
Half Moon Bay.
Half Moon Bay. That's what it is, basically, is Half Moon Bay. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And they've got to put the beer down and watch the show. Getting that drunk from beer is weird to me.
Well, maybe they did some shots before the show or something.
And some other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. All sorts of things.
That's true. Yeah. People like to party.
Yeah. They should. Go party someone's house.
But they shouldn't, right. They shouldn't take that show on the road.
Yeah. And I can handle it. I can handle brawling.
Plus, when you're kind of got a buzz on, like, it's I find it hard to understand jokes.
Well, you know, she kept saying, I would
you just have to listen to Scott's jokes.
Yes, and I would tell a joke, and the blonde woman would say, I didn't ask you to come here. I didn't order you. I didn't order you. She's doing this weird thing she probably does to gay people where she means a snap, snap, like, I didn't ask for your presence. I didn't order you here or whatever. And then the blonde, kept putting her head down on her new boyfriend's lap. The boyfriend you encouraged her to date. That was your fault, I think. You said, oh, yes, leave him and date the guy you're cheating with. So she did. And she
I don't
is.
Remember that one at all.
Yeah, it's a good
but
one.
But, you know, there's themes in the Secret Show.
And her head kept landing on his lap, and then
like,
it would pop
for
up
what?
Again.
Oh, because she was sleeping.
Well, that too. Yeah, there was that going on. Yes. Anyway, thanks for that. I appreciate all of it.
Well, I'm sorry that it wasn't a wonderful experience.
It was all right, but I'm just saying I'm babysitting your audience, just so you know. I'm out there babysitting them, looking after them, your kids.
Oh, and telling them lies about our show.
I didn't. No.
What you just didn't have time for that?
I didn't. There was no lie time.
There's no time for that.
Yeah. I lie. I just say how much I love you all. That we're friends. What? No?
I've heard some stuff that you say about us.
What?
Just all kinds of stuff. Yeah. You're always talking about, make up total fabrications about us. I just want to warn people when they go and see Scott Capurro, he does talk about us and everything he says is a lie.
Oh,
it's a dirty lie.
No. What? No. Okay. I can't remember. Oh, that. Oh, well, you are skinny for a reason. Anyway, what do you got?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that right. Yeah.
Faye Dunaway is in the news today.
Oh, I love her.
And it sounds like she had her own little bar brawl.
Oh, yeah, she's a mess.
Ooh. Do you love her?
Oh, yeah.
Well, at the Oscars this year, the last time I saw her was the Oscars, when she and Warren Beatty come out to present Best Picture.
It was fantastic.
Oh, right.
And he's clearly got the wrong card, and he's just, you know, befuddled, and he turns it towards her, and she just yells out the name that's listed on there, but it was for the previous award.
It
and
was wrong.
She said La La Land won Best Picture, and then it turned out that
so good.
They didn't. It was
Moonlight. They were on stage too for a bit, weren't they, La La Land? Did they actually go up on stage?
Oh yeah, they all went up there, and then the guy from La La Land looks at the envelope and goes, hold on a second.
Yeah.
This is not This is not correct.
Yeah, we were just a nomination. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awkward.
So anyway, you know, now she resurfaces. And she caused a big drama at a place called Marie Robinson Salon in Manhattan.
Uh-oh.
So she went in. I guess she has hair extensions, but they're hair by hair, real human hair, replacement hairs.
She's as bald as a 16-year-old chihuahua. Seriously, she has no hair left.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know. She's
How
got,
do you know?
You don't follow Faye Dunaway?
No.
Oh, go on.
Well, anyway, she goes in and it's like $3,000 to get this done. Uh-huh. Like they take real human hair and they, I don't know, glue the ends. I don't know how they do it.
Well, they find where your face actually starts. That's hard with her. You got to find the face line because she's had so many facelifts and work.
Oh, so you think that they've, like, maybe she's even had some like plugs to because she pulls it back. She has to lower the hair.
Yeah, there's a lot of topography going on up there on the top of that head.
Here's a recent shot of her, Vinny.
You say this with authority like you really know.
I've seen her speak live. I saw her recently at Davies. Davies? Yeah.
Why?
She had a book coming out.
So all this hair is fake?
Yeah, all of it. Look at her face. Oh, God. She's one of the most beautiful women ever. I had her, I bought her book and she signed it and I got up close to her and talked to her for a minute, just for a second.
Mm. What happened?
She said, no, what you're asking me is completely ridiculous. Anyway, move on. That's what she said to me. I said, do you think that you're being so beautiful in Hollywood stood in the way of you're getting a good part? She said, no, Hollywood's all about beauty. That's ridiculous. Anyway, move on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because she had said that she, during her speak, when she was being interviewed by Michael Krasny, she said, no, I think that it kind of, it's difficult when you're that, you know, for beautiful people to really be taken seriously as artists.
I always thought that even though she was beautiful, she had like a unique look
she
about
did,
her.
And played some of the best parts around her time when she was a leading lady that anyone could have gotten. I mean, come on. Network is a brilliant, brilliant film.
Anyway, so she's in the salon.
Yeah.
And she's getting a $3,000 hair. Hmm. I don't, just extensions. I don't really know exactly what that's called when they glue it hair by hair to your head. But I guess that they, so I hand her the bill. It's $3,000. And she flips out.
Did the hair fall off when she flipped?
No. It all stayed on.
Oh, good.
She claimed that she didn't know it was that expensive and said, I'm not paying that. I can't believe how expensive this is. I'm only paying half. So they took her half and the staff said, you're going to have to pay the rest.
Or give us half that hair back.
Yeah, well, just someone should have just started yanking at her head. And apparently she stormed out and she was screaming, this is ridiculous. Everyone in the salon was just, this is ridiculous. Everyone in the salon was aghast. She didn't yell that out. Everyone in the salon was aghast.
Faye with her old English.
Yeah. Aghast. Source says that... she'd gotten the extensions on a previous visit to the salon, and that was $3,000, and she paid that. But she thought that this was just a touch-up appointment. But yeah. I guess any time they put in the hair, it's $3,000.
When they have to glue hair to a ping pong ball, that's what it costs. Yeah, when there's a shiny ball there that needs hair on it, just so you know, everybody, it's $3,000.
So I'm not sure what source this is out of, Uzi. It looks kind of like People.
Page Six.
Oh, okay, Page Six. So they reached out to Faye Dunaway about this incident, and she said, I'd prefer you not run that. I've now paid the whole thing, but I will not be going back there because it is not the price they said it would be. So I don't know what to say, except I didn't throw a fit. It was just, I was very alarmed at the amount they were charging me for the very small amount of hair work that they did. I'm a normal human being and don't expect favors, but I was shocked to be charged the same fee I'd previously paid to get what was now a hair correction. I felt it was extravagant and inappropriate. Clearly, they still ran with the story, though.
She sounds angry when you read her like that.
Well, she is angry.
Oh, she's very annoyed.
The salon receptionist said, there's no one here who can comment on that right now.
There's no one here who knows who Faye Dunaway is.
Yeah.
She, what film? How long ago? Jeez.
Oh, my goodness. And that is
Bonnie
it.
Bonnie and Clyde, brilliant. Have you seen Bonnie and Clyde?
Yeah, of course.
With her and
the iconic one.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the name?
Beatty.
Yeah, they were great. God, she was beautiful. It's tough. When the mighty fall, they fall hard.
They do.
I'll never know what that feels like, but it must be tough. Seriously. It's a relief of being, you know, who I am.
Oh, you're not mighty?
No, I never was. It must be hard when showbiz, when you get older, it's just rough.
Yeah.
And then seeing all those images of what a stunner you were.
That's got to be the hardest thing. Like, who were we talking about? Lady Olenna from Game of Thrones. Mm. Is her name Diana Riggs? What's her name?
Yes, Diana Riggs.
So.
A great beauty.
She, right. And so when
the
you
Avengers
Google her,
are the most popular series.
Like you see her and she's just insanely beautiful, and then there she is all.
But you know what? I've seen her on stage in London, and she's a wonderful actress, and I think she's enjoying her retirement. It's a bit different there, but you're right. Yeah, it would be tough to see, because now she looks like a...
Well, she looks like your grandmother, or your great-grandmother.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anywho. I'd rather be good-looking for at least a few minutes than butt-ugly my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you did look good.
No, I did?
Yeah, you were really cute.
You had a couple minutes.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to do news next, everyone. Hang through these.
Thank you, Scott Cafaro. Radio.com. Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Ooh, goodness gracious. You love that line.
He did that on purpose.
Broke my leg. He broke his arm, his wrist, his rib. He broke his leg. What hasn't that kid broken? He breaks all the records. This part of the show is brought to you by UCSF Health. A couple gigs that Scott has coming up. We got out kind of quickly because we were running late. He is going to be performing. This is his only San Francisco show, and it's Thursday night at Martuni's. And then he's going up to Rohnert Park on Saturday to Sally Tomatoes. And that is actually, that's turned into a benefit.
Right.
Now, so if you go up there, any money you spend up there on Scott's show or whatever else is happening, that has been turned into a benefit for North Bay fire victims. Rohnert Park, Sally Tomatoes, that is on October 28th, this coming Saturday. Scott Caparo, you can see him there.
What's up, everyone? This House Report is brought to you by RadioLS.com. Our station's website has cameras. You can look into the studio. In fact, someone asked if Scott has a rash because he seemed to be itching his armpit and boob. Scott, do you have a rash?
I sure do.
He left?
Yeah, he's split. He'll be back.
He'll be back for the secret ship.
All right. Well, anyway, you can watch the show.
Hi.
Here we are. Here's what's happening. I wanted to begin with this ad from the San Francisco Chronicle.
An ad?
Yeah, an ad. The Napa Valley spirit is alive. The spirit to keep growing, keep crafting, keep welcoming. This is the spirit of the Napa Valley, and it will take more than fire to stop it. The Napa Valley is excited to welcome you back. The restaurants are cooking. The tasting rooms are pouring. The hotels are ready to embrace you with hospitality. There is no better way to help us recover than by enjoying our wines, dining in our restaurants, and visiting our legendary valley. I'm sure Sonoma is saying, me too.
Yep.
And so is Santa Rosa.
Yep.
Us three.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredibly true.
Yeah,
it's a full-page ad in today's Chronicle. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to read that on the air. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Maclem had posted, Sonoma needs you to come there and patronize the places.
Right.
So,
yeah, Liam is actually doing this thing at the Ferry Building on the 19th as well as a fundraiser for the restaurants and the places in Sonoma. I'll post it on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook
page.
Oh, cool.
So there's that.
If you want to help, go up there and spend your
money. Go on up. Have a meal.
Yep.
Stay a night.
The food's legendary.
Do whatever. The World Series starts tonight. Dodgers Astros, 5 o'clock. Should be a hot one, as in the weather's hot.
And a hot game, too.
I don't know. I don't. None of our teams are in it. I'm over it. Is it wrong to drive? Yep. What?
It always is. You have to ask.
Hold on.
Okay.
Is it wrong to drive all lubed up in Vaseline in a thong?
Oh, no. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's legal, right?
I don't see why it wouldn't be. Unless maybe
the second part
keeps you from like holding onto the steering wheel or your foot slipping off the brake.
A cop in Enid, Oklahoma pulled a guy over for speeding last week. I guess that's wrong.
Yes.
When he walked up to the guy's car, he realized the guy was mostly naked, wearing a thong and covered in Vaseline. His name is John Wayne Kellerman. He's 54. According to the police report, his hands, arms, and legs were all lubed up. There was a porno mag on the passenger seat and a nearly empty jar of Vaseline sitting there next to him. When the cop asked what he was up to, he admitted he'd been romancing with himself.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause what else can you say?
Yeah.
I mean, there you are.
I'm just trying to moisten. I have a very dry, cracked skin. Enid, Oklahoma is a very dry area.
This is the guy? This isn't who I saw.
Let me see.
It's really not who I saw.
He looks like Greg Allman or
something.
Geez. Yeah. Like long, like shoulder length, kind of blondish hair with a little like white speckled goatee. That's a, you know, kind of looks like a mountain man.
He's not the ugliest dude of all time.
No, he's, you know, kind of regular. How old do you say he is?
54. John Wayne Kellerman.
He has clothes on, it looks like. Well, a shirt.
His ID was covered in Vaseline, when he tried to hand it to the cop, the police said,
"That's okay.
No.
Well, let me just hold it for me. I'll take a look."
Apparently, he then offered the police a rag to wipe the ID off with, but then the police thought, I don't know where that rag's been either. I'm not touching anything in your car.
I'm going to hand you a ticket for speeding and let you go on your way.
No, it turns out this guy's license had been revoked way back in 85, and he'd been in and out of jail for 27 years since then for various crimes. Yeah. He's facing charges for speeding and driving without a license. Looks like you can drive all lubed up in a thong.
So that was not part of the charges.
None of the charges are involving the...
Vaseline's hard to get off, too.
It is.
Like,
it's
when
awful.
You get the guy to the police station... Like, does that guy have to get
actually,
in your car?
I don't know whoever said to use that as lube, but that is not lube.
No, it's not.
Either.
And I think if you use it like for lube on a condom, doesn't it break down the latex? Like,
absolutely.
It's a really bad choice in lubes. It's not a lubricant.
I was told that. I don't know. Did we hear that in one of the teen movies that they don't make anymore, like Porky's or something, to use Vaseline? And I remember using it, and it actually did the opposite of what it's supposed to do. It dried me out.
Yeah.
And I
had a chap you.
I had a problem for a minute there.
Chappy.
Well, I had to stop doing what I so desperately wanted to be doing at 12.
To let it heal. Yeah.
Couldn't fight through the pain anymore.
What is human like slickwood for a lube?
Organic.
It's organic.
Yeah. It's just good. Use any lube, but not
water-based.
Vaseline. Vaseline is not it. How about a fast fact?
I like a fast fact.
The three members of Lynyrd Skynyrd who wrote Sweet Home Alabama weren't from Alabama.
Oh.
Ronnie.
Just start. Can you start the very beginning of that? That's like one of my favorite beginnings to a song.
It's one of your favorites?
It's just like a good intro. Like when you hear that come on, like that's a song.
This is a great song.
Start it over and crank it up.
Turn it up.
Come on. Really?
Turn it up. Woo! That's an intro right there.
Yeah, well, guess what? They're not from Alabama. Ronnie Van Zant, Gary Rossington were from Florida, and Ed King was from California. And the song was recorded in Georgia.
Well, Sweet Home California would have worked, but Sweet Home Florida wouldn't have worked.
No.
Or Georgia. Sweet Home Atlanta.
It's a dancing song.
I think it's a sin. It's just nice. Look at that. Turn that up.
Must be pretty neat to be in a studio and have invented something that sounds like this. It's not out yet, but there you are. You know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You know
this is a good one.
Like there you are in the studio going, oh my God, we've done it.
Gold.
We cracked the code.
Anyhow. Sweet home Alabama, where the skies are so blue. That's a good song.
Sweet Until the producer says, all right, guys, that one's done. What else you got?
We don't need any other ones.
The person who invented the stethoscope was a guy named René Laennec. He came up with it because he didn't feel comfortable putting his ear directly on women's chests.
Oh.
Bring that back.
Not everybody's Harvey Weinstein, whatever. Sarah.
It does seem like a weird thing to... I mean, nowadays, you wouldn't think of it.
What?
Like, what? You want to put your ear on my chest? No.
I'm trying to hear something.
Put your head on my shoulder.
Booby.
According to J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter was born in 1980.
Oh.
That means the Harry Potter books were set in the early 90s. Yeah. Well, midnight. Through the 90s, because they went on forever and ever. What were there, 10 books?
7, I think.
It seemed a little bit more old-timey than that in the movies. Well, it seemed like it was like 70s.
She says the 80s, buddy.
60s, 70s.
But is it when he turns 10 or when he turns 11?
I mean, look, you got all those old trains and stuff, that old train station.
They still use trains?
No, but not like that. Thanks. Don't laugh like that.
According to a new study, every 20 minutes of your commute is like a 19% pay cut.
What?
What? That's for Vinny. Say that again.
What are you talking about?
Every minute of your commute.
No. According to a new study, every 20 minutes of your commute is like a 19% pay cut. So if you make $50,000 a year, a 20-minute commute makes it feel like you make $40,500 a year job.
It just depresses you? Or it costs you that much money to drive that far?
They say...
Like, what are they basing that on? What a strange stat.
It just makes you miserable, they say.
So if you have an hour and a half commute, which is what you have...
I don't have an hour and a half commute.
Yeah,
well,
you do.
Maybe not on the way in.
When there's trouble, yes, it can be long, but
trouble,
it's not normally
trouble,
that.
Trouble.
People in D.C. and San Francisco spend the most time commuting. People in L.A. and Miami have the most stressful commutes. Mm. But your commute is making you miserable, and it's like making less money than you do.
Oh.
There you go.
Well, what do you think, Vin? You're the expert.
I'm not a fan of driving, but I love where I live, and I don't want to live anywhere else. Mm. So I'm going to do it. And, you know, if I were 20, it would be very different than being 50.
Right.
And knowing that I'll be lucky to work 15 more years here. Mm. And happy to. I want to.
We want to.
So there's
really...
You
hear that, new management? We want to.
There's not a bitch in me. If Well, I'm sure there's some bitches in me, but you know what I mean.
I was going to say.
About that.
That makes you an exception to our rule here. We got a bitch in us.
Come on.
You know what I mean.
I do. I'm certainly not bitching about the job.
Right.
Honored to be here.
Right.
Love to keep this gig.
Exactly. David, you're listening. Something tells me he's not.
Yeah, probably
we,
not.
They took our phone number, like, what was that? This is the new owner. Well, yeah, this is a whole thing going on about, that we're not supposed to talk about. They took our numbers, and they were going to call us, and I sat there and stared at my phone. I was ready.
Yep, me too.
What'd they say when they called?
They never
no
did
one
call.
Called. I gathered the family around. I was like, hey, everyone, watch my phone. It's going to ring. It's going to be the new CEO of our company.
Although it turns out no news is good news.
What?
Oh. No news is good news.
Is that right?
That's right.
Maybe the call was for, sorry, bye.
Oh, like the people who got the calls?
Yeah.
We shouldn't. Oh. We're not, you guys, let's move on from this. We
should edit.
Yeah, edit all this out in post.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. Still waiting on that call. 415 says, hey, one of the lesbians here, tell Scott no more hop dogma. I went last time and the riffraffs in there are so rude. We just want to see one show. Scott, Scott, Scott.
Yeah. There was a guy who wrote in, is the text, there it is, 650 says, Scott spent way too much time saying negative and rude things about El Granada and the people who live there. It was and has been previously very poorly received. He should spend less time on that and more time on actual stand-up comedy. Yeah. That's from one of the guys that got kicked out that night.
You think so?
Probably.
That's your guess?
That's my guess. 510 says, saw Scott in Alameda last Friday. He was awesome. Show was a little over an hour. Left us wanting more. So good.
707 says, Faye Dunaway is horrible and ugly. I worked at a hotel. I worked at a hotel where she stayed and ugly without makeup and hair. The counter in her room was covered with pills and she has chicken legs. Also very rude. Wow. I almost quit during her stay.
Oh boy.
That's from a texter. We don't know. Yeah, that could just be someone she broke up with one time.
Right.
You never know with people. 408, I was at the show in El Granada. It was awesome.
Oh.
Sounds like a nightmare, but whatever.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a fun show.
He's earning his money. That's for darn sure.
Kind of an interesting show to be at and not be involved in the fracas. Like, I like to see things like that kind of happening when I feel safe. But it seems like if you're in the middle, like between the two people who are yelling, you just be like, I'm going to get under the table. It seems like the safest place. Drop, cover, and hold.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll read the rest of the text after these commercial messages.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny. On Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.